in front, Russian Camelot from Dalasan, and he's king of the castle, Russian Camelot.
It's fun and a half in front, away game, and fun and another one for Gay Waterhouse.
Surprise Baby just in front of the 50. Surprise Baby under Geordie charges, pulling clear, and he is our hope for the cup.
Master Wine, two lengths clear. Lifeless Audrey goes to a clear second. Is there anything you can't do, Master Wine?
Cherry Tortoni makes a line of three and goes on by. Johnny Get Angry runs on late, but Cherry Tortoni up to El Cyane just in front and just won. Cherry Tortoni from El Cyane, who was dogging his...
it is time now to crystal ball. Look ahead to the spring majors and some of the biggest races that will be forthcoming in the next couple of months. Maybe some of those names I will expect will be featuring very highly in the thoughts of the three wise men, RSN's own Dean Lester, David Gately from Sky and RSN, and Ron Duffacy from Sky as well. Gentlemen, good morning to you. Dino, first of all, great to have your thoughts on the spring carnival.
My pleasure, Michael. Good morning to you.
It's an exciting time of year, David Gately. How much do you look ahead at the futures now and dream about who might be winning the majors?
Oh, look, it's a lot of fun to do it. I mean, this is the whole reason we're in the sport. It's not a chore. It's a lot of fun. And this time of year, you actually look forward to doing the Sunday or Monday videos on each race meeting, because there's so much excitement as to who might be the next star. And it is a fabulous time of year.
And Duff, have you had any nice wins playing futures over the years, looking ahead to some of these major races?
Oh yeah, many a time. It's always a bit of fun doing it. Whether this is the year to do it with the sort of border restrictions at the moment, not knowing where we are, it could be a little bit dangerous. But still, there's always an edge, or sometimes you think you've got an edge, so you always play the game.
Well, actually, let's talk about that briefly before we drill down on individual races and horses. Dino, this is a spring carnival like we will never have seen before. Obviously, we're most likely not going to get crowds, but from a horse situation, the question mark over the internationals and the border restrictions here in Australia, how are you looking ahead at this stage to those spring races from a form perspective?
Yeah, Michael, I'm mostly interested in the three-year-old races, because I think you're playing in a domestic market. You've got maybe some New Zealand raiders, but then you've got the border restrictions, which complicates it a little bit. But I'm still sort of drilling down on what might be, you know, speculative chances in races like the Derby, the Oaks, Corfu Guineas, Thousand Guineas.
All right, well, that might be a good way or a good place to kick off. If you want to ask any of our gentlemen a question, 0416 90 50 52, you can SMS us or you can tweet us as well. Gator, Ron and Dino, let's start with those three-year-olds then. We might break them into sprinters and those that can get a mile and out to a staying distance. Gator, to you first of all, when we sit here today, who is the best three-year-old from a sprinting perspective? It looks like we could have another stellar year.
Yeah, spot on. I guess the only thing that's consistent with every single year that I've been following racing is that the pecking order changes. So from two-year-olds, you've got your pecking order. If it's Farnan 1, Rothfire 2, whatever it is, whatever your own system is, that'll change because they mature at different levels and different rates. So I think the art to it is finding that horse that perhaps has a lot of maturity still to come, did a bit wrong perhaps in that prep, and, you know, has that upside that we often refer to, and there's often a throwaway line, but it's so important. So, look, I think Farnham's got his captain at the table now. Rothfire's probably vice-captain, but things change very quickly, don't they? You look at a horse like Doubtland, who could be anything. Peltzer beat Doubtland, beat Overlord. Overlord looks pretty exciting as well, and some of these are a big price, so... It's just a wonderful time of year. So, look, I'm not sure, because history says it changes 2 to 3, and that's the art in what we do.
Ron, you know a lot of these horses because they're north of the border. There's not many Victorians that are being mentioned other than Tagaloa amongst the best three-year-olds as far as the sprinters are concerned. How would you have them ranking at the moment?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's a, collectively as a bunch, I'm saying they're very, very good. Obviously, as Gator said, Farnham's got his hand up as the slipper winner. You've got Rothfire, who's only been beaten once, and he's a Group 1 winner at 1,400 metres. And I love these two Hawks horses, Doubtland, who's beat nothing, but the manner in which he did it and the turn of acceleration or turn of speed that he showed that day suggests he's a very good horse. And, you know, then you got Peltzer with all the form in the world around him. Mama Reagan did a great job at his first preparation. King's Legacy looks the miler. You know, and the one I've left out is the one that's already put his hand up. And I love this horse's attitude, and he's a beautiful horse, North Pacific. He could be right up with them, whether it's at the more the mile than the 1,400 than the 1,200, I'm not sure. But as far as sort of singling one out and saying, well, there, you know, he's a star... I think we've got to see sometimes these three-year-olds, you know, they can leave it with a bang. They've still got to put their hand up when they resume as three-year-olds. And North Pacific's the only one that's done that so far.
Dino, where do the Victorians fit in this year? Are we a couple of lengths behind them, or do you have the likes of Tagaloa and Hanseatic up amongst those top echelon horses?
Oh, I think they'll go different style. Well, Tagaloa, I think's right up there. I mean, he ran very well in the slipper, and Hanseatic, I think, had a few issues going to the slipper, and he's going to be more of a short course horse, so yeah, he'll be on a different path again. So, look, I'm very much interested in Peltzer and North Pacific, two of the horses that the boys have already mentioned, but if you're looking at immediate form, Anders looked fantastic on Saturday, and the only horse to have beaten him in his last four starts is Peltzer, and then there's other horses that Peltzer's been able to take care of, so he's the horse that interests me the most.
On a Caulfield Guineas path at this stage then, Dino, horses that might get out a bit further than just your pure sprinters, who would you be looking at this stage?
Well, we've mentioned all probably a lot of the major players. The one from left field for me is a horse through the winter form in Azar from the Hayes Yard, Hayes Dabenig Yard. He was beaten at Mornington on debut over 1,000 metres. He just wasn't sharp enough around there, but he looked outstanding winning at Sandown, and I just think there's a real X factor about him. And whilst he hasn't gone through the good races, he might be a player come Caulfield Guineas time.
Gator, have you got an early thought on the Caulfield Guineas major contenders?
Look, it just obviously it's going to depend on these border restrictions, isn't it? But, you know, you look at a horse like Peltzer, who we've touched on, King's Legacy probably needs to find a length, but he looks that sort of horse, doesn't he? He's always looked a three-year-old more than a two-year-old. Tagaloa as well. But I think the one that might expire is Doubtland. I just don't know which race they're going to target, and but he's something that's you know, I'm similar thinking to Ronnie there, that he's the one that could easily find three or four lengths on what I saw last trip.
For you over a mile, Ron, who would be the Sydney colt that you would be looking at?
When we're looking at the Sydney angle with the Caulfield Guineas, with the way things sit at the moment, you'd be looking for stables that have got dual stables like your Cummings, your Stones and your Hawks, because it's a little bit easier for them with the way their setup is. So King's Legacy trialled yesterday. He is definitely a miler. I'm convinced about that. North Pacific is, he could be, if I got a tick off that he was going to Melbourne instead of, you know, concentrating on the Golden Rose, which I suggest we'll know more after Saturday with him. If there's a sleeper amongst the bunch, I think it could well be AIM, who will always promise to be better at three, and he's a 50-1 chance there. And there's a lovely horse that Cummings have got that running the Magic Million, Conceited. Now, he is a beautiful horse. It all come too soon for him at two, but he's just got presence and style about him. So I'm very interested, considering the place in the market he is, to if he got a tick off to say, well, Godolphin says, well, I think he's a Guineas type of horse, well, then you'd lock in. You know, I think he's worth a spec.
Well, both Conceited and AIM are currently $51 in the Caulfield Guineas. Just looking at the market, gents, King's Legacy is the equal favourite in the Caulfield Guineas with Peltzer at $10 and Tagaloa. Then you're at Alvarado, which is a horse that Trent Busserton, when I spoke to him last week, he nominated as his horse to follow in the Caulfield Guineas. Now, he's beaten Alcyone at his first start and then run second to Cherry Tortoni, which is that Cherry Tortoni-Alcyone form. He's at $15. Cherry Tortoni's $15. And Alcyone's $26 in a Caulfield Guineas. Dino, I'm keen to get your thoughts on those three-year-olds who look like 1,600 plus. How do you rate them?
Yeah, I think Alcyone was the one that we saw, you know, run well to Cherry Tortoni without luck on a couple on one occasion, and then ran well in the Taj Rossi final, then won the Byerly. He interests me, but there's a race every year, Michael, that throws up good horses. It's the Anzac Day Stakes at Flemington, and horses like Flying Award, Iron Edge, and a horse called Ain't No Deal Done from the Freedmen's. They've used this race very successfully in the past. Benicio came through that race to go on and win a Derby, and they've just primed this horse up with a bit of seasoning, with a few runs as a two-year-old over 1,400. He's the one that I'll be specking at a price, but they're the sort of horses I'll be looking to towards the Derby, and with the likes of Alcyone and Cherry Tortoni in the mix. But those horses that ran around in that Anzac Day Stakes interest me a lot.
Well, Ain't No Deal Done is $26 for the Derby at the moment. Iron Edge, and we got an SMS asking about the thoughts on Iron Edge as well. So you think he's a genuine contender, and also Flying Award is around about a $15 chance. Gator, looking at the Derby market with Alcyone, equal favourite Cherry Tortoni, and then King's Legacy, do you think the Victorian three-year-olds at this stage appear to be the better stayers? And is there a long-range Derby horse that you're looking to follow?
Look, I think the thing with Derbies and Oaks, they evolve much later than most of the other races. That makes them much more difficult from a long-range perspective, in my humble. You know, I pretty much know who's, all things being equal, who's going to be at the top of the market in a Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate, Melbourne Cup, even a Golden Rose. But the Derby and the Oaks are races that evolve so late, especially the Oaks. I mean, I think I got it wrong on the Tuesday before. So I'm not sure how I'm going to go here in August. But, so it's a challenge. But the thing with Alcyone and Alvarado and those sort of horses is they're certainly bred to stay. I mean, Alcyone looks to have tremendous upside. I love the fight he showed when he was almost collared there at Flemington. He kept running. You know, he could have done another lap, you know, and he's bred to just keep running, isn't he, out of Purple? So, I think they're probably the top of the tree, but it's not where I'd invest my 300.
Duff, is there an early staying three-year-old that's caught your eye?
No, I think Gator's hit it on the nail on the head there. I wouldn't want to be getting involved in the Derby unless I, you know, saw something at 100-1 or, you know, 80-1 or something like that. I want to see them all get to a mile and maybe even a little bit further before I start making any decisions as far as that's concerned. So I don't think the edge is there as yet, because, you know, we might think they can stay some of these horses, but they mightn't. But I think I'd rather sit on the fence and pay the penalty of taking, 25-1 instead of 50-1 now once I see them get to a mile.
Dino, the fillies, there doesn't seem to be that amount of boom on the three-year-old fillies coming through. And if you look at the 1,000 guineas market, you've got Agreeable and Hungry Heart, equal favourite with Instant Celebrity, who was very good in South Australia. How do you rate the three-year-old fillies at this stage?
Yeah, I'm sort of, this will be, I think, a real evolving sort of market because, a horse like Agreeable's had one start at Geelong. I think she's really good and I think she'll be right there, all being well come 1,000 guineas time. She's well enough found in the market now. A filly that interests me from the Mick Price Yard is Scientific. She has got a similar profile, only having had one start at Geelong for a win. Wouldn't be surprised if she was one that went right through sort of guineas and then to the Oaks. But I think the fillies that will develop. Duff Montfilia, what do you make of her?
I'm convinced she'll stay, and it's a target for her, so that's a start. And David Payne, we know what he does with these young stayers. He can get them up and going and ready for these races. They're strong stayers, so she has to be in the mix there somewhere. There's no doubt about it. I'd say more so an Oaks rather than a 1,000 guineas. if I was to, you know, single one of the two races out. But she's done a really good job to go straight to 1500 against the older horses, and just glide through the line there, winning well.
Well, Montpellier, she's currently equal favourite in the Oaks now with Hungry Heart, and that Scientific, who you mentioned, Dino, in the 1,000 guineas, is a $26 pop. Gator, have you got any thoughts on the 3-year-old fillies coming through the ranks?
There was a really good win in Adelaide from Instant Celebrity, which she looked terrific. There was some merit on the clock. Away Game has the runs on the board, so bulletproof and tough. Whether or not there's that upside we spoke about at the start with her, maybe she's a little bit more precocious than a few, so the others might catch up with her. Big Spruik on personal. I wouldn't be giving up on horses like Sells and those sort of fillies as well. But, there's water to go under the bridge, but some excitement there. And I'm whipped up on Montpellier as well. I thought the 1500 might be a bit sharp second up, but she's still too good. So I think she's probably beyond that Guineas trip for the 1600 for mine as well.
A heap of SMSs coming through, gents. I'll get to a few of them before we lock into the actual spring majors. I'm looking at the Victoria Derby prospects alike. The Two Godolphins, Stayers, Alcyone, and also Choir, both by Teofilo. What's the team thinking? That's from Dave in Frankston South. Dino?
Yeah, I think they're getting a good grounding with Choir winning. It was only a maiden, but he won over 2,050 on tough ground on Saturday at Mowi. So he's getting a good foundation under him and probably only needs a couple of runs. And heard James Cummings on after the last on Monday night mention that horse like Alcyone might go first up in the Derby trial at Flemington, that 1,800-metre race at the end of September. So they've already got the grounding to not have many runs before the Derby.
Shano's texted in and asked about Selzabeel as a 2-year-old, was the favourite for the slipper, but he can't find her anywhere in the market. Stuff, do you know what's going on with Selzabeel?
I haven't seen her in trials or anything like that, so I'm not sure. She's still spelling by the Racing Australia, so she's obviously had a setback, having not been seen since the Black Opal.
Alright, so she's officially spelling. Gator, and anyone who wants to weigh in on this, SMS, what do you think of Jenny's Rainbow as a 1,000 guineas hope after her debut? Reminded me of Atlantic Jewel, who firmed from 100 to 15 after a win on the synthetic like that.
Well, you're drawing a bit of a bow there. I don't think there's any doubt. You'd have to think that Atlantic Jewel was one of the best horses. She'd have a seat at the table as one of the best horses I've seen. Look, it was a terrific win. Again, there was some merit, on the clock, which is a great starting point. But the level of upside is going to be king there.
All right, last one on the 3-year-old's got an SMS saying, I was taken with the 3-year-old filly Swats That jump out the other day against the older horses. Your thoughts, Dean or Gator, do you want to jump in on that?
It was a very good jump out down the straight. Looked to go very well. And I heard Dwayne Dunn actually mention it on after the last. He rode in that trial and thought it went very well. So, it's certainly a watch runner.
All right. So the 3-year-olds, as they always are open. But there's a couple of value selections. Duff, Aim, $51. Conceded, $51 in the Caulfield Guineas. And Dino has mentioned Scientific around about $26 in the 1,000 guineas there as well. Let's get on to the first of the features, gents. There's a lot of SMSs coming through about the thoughts in the Caulfield Cup, because it could be a local cup this year with both the Caulfield and Melbourne Cup reduction in the internationals that are coming. And as I have a look at the market, we've got Master of Wine, $9 favourite, ahead of Russian Camelot. Colette, $15. Very Elegant, $15. Actow, who's in the race at $18. Shared Ambition at $18 as well. No internationals, all locals top the market. Duff, to you first of all. Master of Wine, how good is this stayer?
Well, I've been waiting 12 months for him to get to this spring carnival, and I think he's been beautifully handled. I'm very Team Hawks orientated with early thoughts on the whole carnival. In fact, from Sydney and Melbourne, I think they're very strong, and I think he's a deserved favourite. I'm not sure, it's one of these races you want to have a look at the weights come out and things like that. Obviously, Very Elegant, come of age, last preparation, more so mentally, where she's not throwing her head about and she's relaxing better, and she showed that she can be ridden into a position as well. and shared ambition, and I still haven't given up on Canaan. So that's the way I'm sort of looking at the Caulfield Cup. You know, I may be a fair bit Sydney-orientated there, but Master of Wine is, you know, I think he's got real upside to peak right up this spring, and although the market's found him, I'm very hot on him.
Gator, do you think he's a deserved favourite?
Well, if I was framing the market now, he'd be favourite. It's well and truly up to each punter whether you want it to take $9. I think given the way things are shaping, I don't think it's a terrible price. I mean, you know, especially if you can find the second leg of the double, you're not spending much and you're certainly having a bit of fun, and that's what it's all about. His effort in that, you know, probably the best Queen Elizabeth we've seen, to sit wide and still cross the line with the likes of Chaco Shark and so on at weight for age, is probably the run that says, yes, you know, I'll measure up. He's two lengths off Very Elegant. He's going to get a weight advantage off her in a race like the Caulfield Cup, and he's arguably still on the upward spiral. Now, it doesn't guarantee you anything. I think this stable had a big spruik horse. I'm trying to think of the horse's name, quite a few years ago, who was very good in the Melbourne Cup, and we all tipped it the following year, and it didn't quite come up. So you're not guaranteed, but everything about this horse says it's a perfect race for him. He's going to get in at the weight. He can posse. You can find a spotter. He can pretty much sit anywhere. He can sustain speed. He's a bit of a weapon.
Dino, Russian Camelot, most people are thinking he's probably going to go towards the Cox Plate. He's the current second favourite, $11. Is it Master of Wine the one to beat in your mind, or are there a few at better odds in the Caulfield Cup you could play at this stage?
I think the interesting part of that market is, like, is Master of Wine locked into the Caulfield Cup? If he comes up well and wins a couple of weight for age races straight away, is he going to the Cox Plate instead? Russian Camelot, I think, yeah, maybe Cox Plate bound. Colette, James Cummings, again, on After the Last on Monday, mentioned preparation up in the air where she goes. Originally, it was said that she wouldn't go to a Caulfield Cup, but I think with the changing of what's happening internationally, that she might be headed that way. Very Elegant, yeah, maybe. I think, you know, Shared Ambition, Actow, to me, they look like they're horses that would be absolutely targeted at a Caulfield Cup. And they'd be the two that, you know, if I was specking something, they might be them. And a quick thinker interests me a little bit, because Murray Baker's got that great knack of having the three-year-old that can be very smart but really emerge as a four-year-old. And this horse, he might do that as well. So he'd be one I'd be interested in a little bit as well.
All right. Well, Rupert Lee yesterday said that in his mind, Master of Wine is a Caulfield Cup horse. So that might give the punters out there some confidence, yeah, as to where
well,
he's going
case,
to head.
If that's the case, he certainly should be favoured. He's, you know, the credentials off that last weight for age run. He's proven at the trip. He's built a really good profile. He should be favourite.
SMS asking about Canaan, who is currently $26. I'll open it up to all of you gents. Dino, first of all, what are your thoughts on Canaan?
I think it's a bit of an open book with Canaan, whether he's just depends how well he comes up, because, you know, whether he's a Caulfield Cup or even, you know, a little Cox Plate chance. I think he's a very good prospect. I think the first couple of runs will tell the tale, but which way they go. But yeah, it wouldn't shock me if he won well in a couple of runs early in the prep that he was Cox Plate bound.
Duff?
Yeah, he's an interesting horse. I think we were all raving about him before he got beat in that race over the Brisbane Carnival in the Group 3 there. But he's had a little soft trial recently behind Nature Strip. He poked around there. So, look, he's had five starts. I think we're all looking at that Packer Plate win and saying, wow, what a horse this could be. So he's been well looked after. He's you know, a young four-year-old now, and he's, like I said, he's only had the five starts, but he's promised so much, and he still might have more to deliver. So I think Dean's right. We'll learn more after two runs with him, you know, where we're sitting. But I think that all the timing for him will be, you know, around the late spring, you know, Flemington Carnival.
If Master of Wine wins a Caulfield Cup, is he going to be a pretty short price favourite in a Melbourne Cup? Or do you think he's got a query at 3,200 metres? Surprise Baby becomes the one that's the fresh horse on the scene in a Melbourne Cup this year. Duff, to you, who's your number one cup tip at this stage?
I think it has to be Melbourne Cup with him. It's the year to try it. If he does run well in the Caulfield Cup, He's he gives the impression it'll be okay. I got no issue with him when he won that Tats Cup at a mile and a half that day. He was racing away. I don't know whether he beat much that day, but he just looked the part. Since the blinkers got on this horse, and we all know that John's all, you know, I think everyone would love to win a Melbourne Cup, but I think this is the race he really wants, and this might be the horse to give it to him.
It's one of the most exciting Melbourne Cups when you look at the markets. We all know the horses at the top of the markets compared to previous years where we may not gate a Surprise Baby, $9, Russian Camelot, $10, Master of Wine, $15, King of Lear Grants, $18, Very Elegant, $18. And then the first in the internationals is Lloyd Williams' own Buckhurst at $26 ahead of Constantinople. If you had $10 on a cup runner right now, who would it be, Gator?
It's an interesting one. So last year what we saw was the Aussie horses measure up really well. You know, Surprise Baby, arguably the best run in the race. Vow and Declare won it. You know, especially this year, given we don't know the depth of internationals, I wouldn't be scared of any locals. Whether or not Master of Wine is a bit too brilliant for the very end of 3200 is the little question mark. But he's obviously an exceptional horse. Very Elegant, I think, will stay. She's going to get a bit of weight, though. To answer your question, a free $10. Look, it might just be Surprise Baby, but, I wouldn't take $9. So we'll wait and see there.
The boom is Russian Camelot, Dino. He's untapped, but he hasn't been around in a Melbourne Cup and performed like Surprise Baby has, who's lightly raced as well. Who have you got on top at this stage?
Oh, Michael, I think if you're making the market, they've got that right with Surprise Baby, Russian Camelot at the top, but it's a long way out to be taking those sort of prices. If I was at this stage, I'd be more speculative and I'd have a little something on Shabao, who I thought had that little cameo over winter. He's a very good stayer, I think, and big, strong unit that I think if Rob Hickmont keeps him sound, he's a bit of a player. Shabao, I think he's a good stayer. And a European horse that's got a lot lower profile, but he's coming out, and I think he's going to the Peter Moody stable, is a horse called Nicker Jack Cave, who... just ticking over very well. He's won 4 out of 10 and he's building a good profile. He looks as though he stays well. He looks like a perfect horse for Australian conditions.
What price is Nicker Jack Cave? Do you know, Dino?
He's around the $26 mark, Michael. I think he was in the market yesterday. Yeah.
All right. And Shabao is $26. Yeah, he is. $26. Same price as Shabao. And there was an SMS from a listener on Shabao and also Django Freeman. Gator, can you give us your thoughts on the Hickmont too?
Well, Django Freeman probably needs to progress a little bit. So I wouldn't be investing just yet there. We'll see how it comes back. What was the other one you mentioned?
Shabao, who Dean was talking about.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was exceptional and then had the injury and then that little pipe opener. So, look, he's a very good horse. Whether or not he's a Melbourne Cup winner... we'll wait and see there. But if he had a share, you'd be excited, put it that way.
And the Cox Plate is just as mouth-watering this year. Master of Wine is equal favourite with Russian Camelot. So the musical chairs of which races these horses will be aimed at is going to be fascinating. But Duff, I'd love to get your thoughts watching on from Sydney about what Russian Camelot has been able to do on this young stayer.
Oh, look, he looks a lovely horse, and considering, you know, how old he is and what's to come from him, and I was really taken with his jump out the other day. So, you know, he looks, sky's the limit, anything they want to target. You know, it's hard to win everything, so if they want to concentrate on a Cox Plate, I'd certainly be considering going into his corner, that's for sure. Just on that Melbourne Cup, back to that Melbourne Cup with horses that might be value, even though I love the favourites, and I think the forgotten horse in that Melbourne Cup market might be a horse called Finch, who hasn't raced since last year's Melbourne Cup, and considering this year we might have just a closed shop, I think he's back going okay after he might have had an injury, so he's had a trial back, so he could emerge late for a Melbourne Cup, and even a horse like Cariff, who's he's no superstar, but he'll get in light into a Melbourne Cup. That's the Sydney angle I'm thinking, is the Melbourne Cup, the Cox Plate. Yeah, look, it's the big It's the big two there, Master of Wine, Russian Camelot. They're cuddled in the market, but I'm feeling a lot of love for them.
Well, just on your cup roughies, Cariff's $51 and Finch is $31 for the punters out there. In the Cox Plate, where does Funstar sit, Duff?
I don't know where she sits. You know, she's more mature now. We expected so much of her and to be so dominant last preparation. And look, she was still good. Yep, she'd have to be in the mix, but I just want to see her come back and do it again. But there's nothing wrong with the form. And Arcadia Queen has to be a big question mark there. She's had her issues, and can she stretch it out to 2,000 metres? I don't know. So a lot of ifs and buts about the Cox Plate, not knowing who's, you know, wants to be number one target for it.
Got an SMS I was about to ask about the WA Bob Peter Invaders. Dino, of those horses, we get to see three of them at Caulfield on Saturday. Who are you most looking forward to and think will have the biggest impact this spring?
Oh, the one that holds the most intrigue is Arcadia Queen, because if she finds the right form, you go back to that win in the Kingston Town, admittedly as a three-year-old filly at 1,800, she was outstanding, and then just set an ambitious campaign last spring trying to win the Everest, and then no luck in the Golden Eagle. So, you know, we haven't, you know, she's been a bit out of sight, out of mind a bit, but she's very good, and I'd love to see, you know, if she can find her right form.
I'll throw a few names at you, gents. We've got so many SMSs and tweets. Gator, subpoenaed?
Subpoenaed. Genuinely exciting. I think she'll definitely be strong up to 2,000 metres. She's got a proper finish on her. She's in the conversation, but I'd want some odds.
Okay. I'll throw one at you, Duff, from a listener. New King?
Yeah, look, he didn't beat much the other day. He's a Frankel horse, lightly raced. They played a bit of money for him. Maybe more so autumn rather than spring.
Okay. I've got another one here. Dirty Deeds from Leanne Hoskins. Gate. Dino?
Well, a really nice horse coming through the grades. Terrific again on the weekend. But I think, through the grades over spring.
And before we wrap up and get your thoughts on all of the majors, let's talk about the Everest. We see Nature Strip. Would you jump into the $4.350 now, Duff?
Well, he's hard to get away from, isn't he? He's a superior. I don't know about taking it now. Things can go wrong, but I think, I don't know how it works if they don't get a run, if they don't happen to run. You sometimes in these markets now you get your money back. So I think if he runs, that'll be about his price, or even could even be shorter if he comes out and goes bang, you know. So I think the Everest is all about what comes up about the 3-year-olds. They could emerge late here, and the only one with X factor that I think we've all been waiting for him to be fully mature and ready to go is Classique Legend. So I think Nature Strip holds all the aces, other than a big 3-year-old jumping right out of the ground, whether it's a Farnham or a Rothfire or you know, who knows what could happen with Doubtland and horses like that. But at this stage, he's after his trial, he's hard to get away from, isn't he?
I know you love him, Gator. Are you very, very strongly in the camp of Nature Strip?
Well, he's too fast for him. So, I mean, he's just, it's a race, and he's just too fast for him. So now that he's ticked the 1,200-metre box, and that was always the query with him, he was a young idiot, basically. But this stable, I don't know how they do it, to get him to be a super strong 1,200-metre horse. And those two 1,200-metre wins in the last 12 months in the VRC Sprint and the one in Sydney were just outstanding. Handles any track. They can't pressure him because he's too fast. The left field, I think that's right, the left field, if there's a yes, yes, yes this year, it's Farnham, Rothfire, Doubtland. Those sort of horses could emerge, and they'd need to, though, because he's producing world-class speed for 1,200 metres. So, you know, if it's a race, you've got to be faster than him to beat him.
And as well, so he covers a lot of bases.
Dino, we've got to wrap up quickly, but this SMS, I've got two legs of a multi left in play. Nature Strip Everest, Russian Camelot Cox Plate for $32,500. Tell me I'm going to win.
Let it ride.
All right, Duff. can you throw, if I ask you at this stage, give us one name in each of the majors. Caulfield Cup?
Well, a Master of Wine.
Cox Plate?
Master of Wine.
Melbourne
Cup. And Melbourne Cup, maybe Master of Wine too. I just want to see where they stand and what their targets are. Like, you know, obviously, there is a target, but I think whatever he's targeted for, it's well within his reach. So I think he's well found in the markets and deservedly so. So I can't say, you know, go and take the price now because, you know, he could be doubtful in one or two of them.
Gator, who are your three?
All right, we'll go Master of Wine, Caulfield Cup, Arcadia Queen, Cox Plate, and Russian Camelot too. He sort of profiled similar to Surprise Baby last year, who was probably the best run in the race, along with that three-year-old thing. So that's my answer, mate.
Dino?
Well, if Master of Wine's going to the Caulfield Cup, I want to be with him. Cox Plate, I was going to go with him for the Cox Plate. So I'm going to go broad reach, out wide. I'll just say a three-year-old to win the Cox Plate because it's up for grabs. I think a three-year-old might come through and run well in the Cox Plate. And I'm specking Shabao at odds in the Melbourne Cup.
Love it. The SMS is lit up, gents. People love this discussion about the Spring Carnival debate and appreciate the three wise men giving their time. Duff, we'll continue to talk about this over the next few weeks. Great to have your time this morning.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Gator, you thanks. Too, mate.
Two wise men, but yeah, thanks.
And Dino, we'll speak to you soon about all the winners for Sandown.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
There you go. Dean Lester, Ron Duffacy and David Gately. You missed any of it. We'll put all their selections up on the website with the podcast. A quick break. Don't go anywhere, though. We're going to speak to a Hall of Famer in Australian racing after the break.